Good morning. Good morning. Say, this is a day my God has made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. Look at someone and say, I'm glad today. I'm glad today. I'm glad today is the day, not any other. Thank you, Lord, for my mother, my brother, my sister, my friends, my family, those who think they're my enemy. Thank you, for all things work together for my good, because I love you and you love me, and I am the called according to your purpose. You may think you came here today just to gather together and clap your hands a little bit and shout and sing and praise and hear the word and go amen. You can take your seats if you want to. But the truth is, you're here for an assignment. This is a pivotal time, unlike any other time. And God said he would give us a new day. He would open up new doors. He would give us wisdom and insight. He said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, he said, you're going to bear witness to me that I'm God with you, and that I'm God in you, and that I'm God through you. And someone said this morning, I think it was our worship leader, that only you can bring the type of praise to God that you bring. Only you can bring. And I think he must have been praying or listening or studying, because he said something about the name. In the name. In the name. Interesting, the name. A name, the name, has such influence in it. We see it throughout the Word. God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he addressed himself as the Lord God Almighty, Almighty. God Almighty, God Almighty, El Shaddai, God Almighty. But at another time, he addressed Moses in a way, and he said, I revealed myself to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But he said, never before have I revealed myself as Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord. But I'm revealing it to you. And God has given us a name. Remember in the scriptures, he says, I give you a name that no man knows. Give you a new name. We always like to push everything off for another time when we just cease to exist on this planet. But there's such importance, and God puts so much stress and importance on how the earth was formed for his will, his purpose, and his pleasure, and that his spirit runs through the earth. His word is alive in the earth, the earth, the earth, the earth. When we hear of the angels of God doing something, for the most part, they're addressing something to do with the earth. And the earth is an important place to God. It's so important that the world said he loved it. And that means you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish. And sometimes we can tend to stop there, and we're just thankful that we don't perish. And then we take our religious attitudes and our contrived phrases, and we decide how we're going to change this world that we feel so qualified to change and so called to change. But really nowhere in Scripture are we told to do that. We think we need to because we look out into a world and we see what's wrong. But remember this, doubt shows you what's wrong. Only faith shows you what's right. And Jesus made a powerful statement. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. He addressed a number of people that way. People that were sick and needed healing. He would say something unique, not like, and he did, but he didn't say, I have healed you. He would say things like, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you. That's what he said. And within the whole configuration of salvation and being born again and what we have learned from men of the cloth and what we've studied and figured out on our own. You have to question, how much have you learned from the Holy Spirit? And how much of man have you believed? His dialogue, his interpretation, his affiliation. But Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will radically change you. And the word says, at the name of Jesus, at the name, at the name, at the name, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob knew me as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But you as Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord. I like calling him Lord, don't you? Lord. It was a revealed name. God said, this has been quieted. No one knew me in this way. Which gives reference and credence, reference that there's something going on that God, that we don't know all about. And credence to the power in the revelation of God when he says something to you by his Spirit, when he reveals himself to you in a unique way. Your praise is unique to you, and no one else can bring your praise to God. And your praise is the one thing God doesn't have until you bring it to him, because he made it that way. And I love the scripture that says, my God, his way is perfect. Not just ways, but his way. Everything he does is perfect. And the way he does it is perfect, because he is perfect. How many believers do we have in the house? And I'm not going to try and make you raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you one more time. How many believers in Christ do we have in the house? You are all he is, if you do. Because he is all there is. He is everything. Did you hear that? We are who he is, if we believe in him, because he's all there is. And he is everything. And the scriptures tell us, of him, through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory. Through him is everything. By him is everything. And in him is everything. So I want to put before you, in this pivotal moment that we are alive in, you're either a tool or a temple. You're either a tool, maybe one you've ascribed to yourself, or some kind of weapon, or maybe you're a sword, maybe you're a hammer, maybe you're a drill, maybe you're a screwdriver, or maybe you're a vessel, maybe you're a vessel, maybe you're a vessel, tool or a temple. We've talked about this. And I see in the scriptures it's better to be a temple than a tool, because a tool can make up its own rules, but a temple is filled with God's rules. And God's way, his way is perfect. So at this pivotal time, and I'm speaking to you prophetically, and if you don't believe in the prophetic, you should. And if you don't, I'm still going to prophetically speak. And if you do, I'm going to prophetically speak. And whether or not you hear it is up to you, yielding to the Spirit. Let those that have ears hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. According to your faith be it unto you. When is that day going to come when change happens? Well, do you know what change should happen? We want things to change, but do you know what they should change into? I mean, this needs to stop and that needs, but what needs to happen in place of it? What is a change? Because God, his way is perfect. When he created the earth, he said, I created it to be inhabited. He thought it from top to bottom, side to side, inside and out. He knew everything that needed to be done. And he made a perfect world that didn't act based on our ideas perfect. It acted the opposite, in opposition to what we consider perfect, because what we think is perfect is when everything goes the way we think it should. But God's ways, he said, are not your ways. And he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And they're greater. They're more elevated. Because typically it's our emotions and our interpretation of what should happen that tells us whether or not it should or shouldn't be. Right? You can say right. Yeah. But God's ways are beyond our ways. It's like he said to Moses. He said, I'm revealing a part of me a name, in the name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess what he said to Moses, you are Lord, you're Lord, at the name of Jesus. There's something in a name. And what is a name? A name is an identity. And only God, only the Holy Spirit really knows your identity. Only the Holy Spirit really knows who you are. I mean, you may think you know who you are, and most of what we, or oftentimes a lot of who we become, are those that we emulate, but you forfeit the lesson as to who you really are because we try to get out of the very thing that teaches us that, which is our faith in God and trying of our faith, which he said will make us complete. The word perfect that the church doesn't like because it's a great excuse to say no one's perfect so we don't have to step up to the plate. But in reality, he created us. What is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him? You made him lower than the angels on purpose. On purpose you did that, yet you crown him with glory. And all this crowning of glory and all that we set and listen to and all that we watch and all that we determine needs to be done, do you know who you are? Do you know your identity? Do you know your point and purpose? Sometimes we aimlessly wander around like they did in the wilderness, so it seems, because things just seem to be going upside down. But James says, count it all joy, count it only joy, count it totally, completely joy when you enter into the different tryings of your faith, not for your opinion and not for applause, but for purpose. In other words, when things seem to go upside down, whether a little bit or radically, what's happening? What's really happening? Well, some like to say that the horned guy, you know, is after you and other people because the world is so corrupt. But my God says he leads us in the way we should go. 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd. I follow him. He leads me in the way that I should go. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's what my God says, my word, my Bible. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It means he is Lord, what he said to Moses. He leads me beside the quieted waters. Sometimes we're not quiet, especially when things are going to change and God is doing a new thing. God said, I will to do a new thing. He didn't ask us. He said, I will to do a new thing. And he said, and before I do it, I'm going to tell you about it. Some of you will hear me, some of you won't. When Jesus was present on the earth, some people recognized him more than Peter, recognized him as the Christ. And then one day, he asked the disciples, he said, who you are has a lot to do with what happens. And what happens in the earth is not dictated by what we do on the earth. What happens in the earth is dictated by what we do in the heavens. That's why Jesus said, set your mind on things above. Wouldn't it be a much better world if we set our mind on things above instead of on the things of the world? Because I'm going to tell you something right here and now. It's never going to be the way you want to. This election is not going to turn out the way you necessarily want it to. It's going to be one of the most radical elections of all time. God put your foot right in the middle of a place of power and authority. But it's going to be incredible because God is going to stir up. The will of the Lord for this season over the next couple, 3 years is to stir up, we could call it revival or a new thing. God is going to use the government entities and ideas to stir up the church. Hear me and remember, because you're going to see it happen. God is going to use the very thing we scream about, fight about, and tell them how they're supposed to be as if we knew. Isn't that funny? Because our ideas are different. We think we know what's right and wrong, but only God knows the right way. And only the Spirit can lead you in the way that we should go. So it's only right that we listen. They that have an ear, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And this is what Jesus said. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to empower you so you can bear witness to me. I love to pray, God, bear witness that you're God with me so I can bear witness to you, because that's what you said. God, bear witness to me in the name, the identity. So let me prophesy to you. What I see taking place in the world today by the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God is God has given you the name that he gave Abraham, the name that he gave Sarah. He said, I'm going to do something. Abraham said, God, what will you do? What will you do? What will you do? Great, wise way to address God. What will you do? What do you want to do in me, for me, through me? He said, I don't have a child, but what will you do? God said, I'm going to give you a seed, but I'm going to give you exceedingly, abundantly, and above all you know to ask or think. And I'm going to do it according to the power that works on you, the same word that we have today. I'm going to do something wonderful through you. And so Abraham says, that sounds awesome. I haven't had a son, and it's really important that I have a son. Representation of blessing, authority, power, privilege, honor, that you've blessed me and my wife. Time goes on like time does sometimes, and nothing seems to happen. We think the world's upside down. We start rebuking everything that we can imagine could possibly be trying to hinder us, never realizing that God is in the midst of all you are, all you do, because we must be as He is, because He's all there is. And unless you reject Him, that's who you have to become. The Word says, I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that lives. I take that very personally and very sincerely. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. He didn't say 50-50 split. He said, it's no longer I. As He is, so are we in this world. Talking about knowing how to love. With which out you're just a bunch of noise. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave Himself for me. It's important to understand we're not just saved, we're appointed. God saved you to appoint you. He saved you to position you so you had influence in the heavens. Our focus is on the earth, exactly what He told us not to do. Said, set your mind on things above, because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we walk hand in hand in the presence of the Lord. So the change that's coming is through a new identity to the church. There's extraordinary power in the identity that is given to you only through Christ. To really know who you are gets you pretty excited and encouraged. That's why God typically tells you things to do when it's really God that you don't want to do. Your flesh will never bless you. Your flesh, meaning your emotions, your attitude, unless it's governed and surrendered to the Spirit of the Lord. Your flesh doesn't bless you. It works against you. Our anger, our hatred, our jealousy, our bitterness, our strife, those things sound nasty. I always know when someone's been seeking God because they sound like love. You can always feel someone that's just come from being surrendered to the presence of the Lord because they just sound like love. They're not talking about what's wrong or what needs to change. They're talking about what they've seen. Like Jesus said, He said, I've seen the things that the Father has done, and I've heard what the Father has said, and that's what I want to talk to you about. Instead of addressing sin and hatred and bitterness and strife, He addressed the kingdom of God. His message was the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom. Repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. So much power in knowing your real identity and who Christ is. And I can't stand up here and tell you who that is. But the Holy Spirit in you, He will tell you who you are. And today we are at a pivotal point in history, where God is identifying you by your anointed name. He said to Abraham, He said, I'm going to give you a son. But He said, it's not going to be just like a son. Abraham wanted a son, and God gave him nations. That's what God's doing today. He doesn't want to demonstrate what you can do. He wants to demonstrate who He is through you. Exceeds your imagination, your ability to ask, your needs fall far short, far, far short of what God really wants to do, because your real identity doesn't have a need. Your real identity has an expression of the fullness of who Christ in you is, and that trumps everything in the entire world. David didn't stand up as a man before Goliath, or when he came into the tent of the king. He stood in the name of the Lord, and he declared that to Goliath. He said, I don't have words to sling at you. I'm not going to tell you how wrong you are, how horrible this army is. What I'm doing is I'm saying, I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come in His identity. I don't have one of my own. I don't have a position to take. My position isn't here. We're not burying our head in the sand. We're burying our head. We're being enlightened because we have our head in the heavens. That's what Jesus said to do. Because he said, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. In other words, what we see from the kingdom of God, because God has empowered us through Christ in the earth, that what we say, what we stand, and what we believe as the body of Christ is going to take place on the earth. Not you're wrong and you shouldn't do this. You ever notice how nasty sometimes the so-called church sounds? They sound angry and hateful and mean and uncaring, and they look at everything that's wrong. But the Word says, it is written, the just shall live by faith. And faith tells you what God's saying, not what man wants to do. Because when God says it, it doesn't matter what man wants to do. All that matters is what God is saying, and it will come to pass. You'll find yourself there. I found myself in the most unusual, peculiar places. I've had, over the past few months, the most incredible invitations. And I just believe God. I've had people try to shove opinions of how negative and how bad, and you need to say this to this person, you need to prophesy that to that person. And all I say is, if you were God and the Holy Spirit, I'd listen to you. But he doesn't sound like that to me. When he approaches me, I feel the presence of peace. When you approach me, I feel the presence of anxiety. I like to be in the presence of the Lord, so I like to be around people that I know have been there. And it's not something we invite in. The presence of the Lord fills the whole earth. It's something we walk into, something you believe into. But God is giving us an identity today. And over the course of this time, there's going to be a difference, different than the past few years, an awakening in the body of Christ, to where we take a different approach. It's not a closed fist, a strong arm, an elevated voice towards what is wrong, but a strong, powerful voice declaring the glory of God reigns and rules in the earth, prophecy going forth. See, when God spoke to Abraham, what he was doing is he was prophesying about you and I. And I know about, he prophesied Isaac, he called Isaac out, but what actually happened, the prelude to that, was that he spoke to two dead bodies, male and female, just as we were dead in sins and trespasses. And he spoke to two dead bodies, meaning at the time that the promise of the son of Abram and Sarah came, it was Abraham and Sarah. God gave them a different identity. He said, I'm going to give you an identity. Abraham, you're known as the exalted father, but I'm going to call you the father of multitudes. And out of the dead womb of Sarah, I'm going to bring life, just like God has done. God prophesied you and I today out of our deadness. He said, you were once dead in your sins and your trespasses, because God decided that he wanted to reveal his glory not only to the earth, but God's focus really is on the heavens. And what he wants us to do by our faith is not change the world, but move the heavens. That's why he said, set your mind on things above. When you pray, pray your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You hear people say, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. No, you're too earthly good that you have no idea what heaven wants to do in the earth. And remember, the heavens do rule. Nebuchadnezzar, great king, learned that one day. He said, it's true, the heavens do rule in the earth. And our assignment is your identity of your anointing, your name that God has given you. Who has God called you to be? I think of myself as he who glorifies God. I've made so many people just a little bit frustrated because I wouldn't give way to blaming evil for what seems to be wrong, but I blame God for everything. I just blame him for everything. I figure if I blame God for everything, if it's wrong, he's going to make it right. If I give God all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, then I'll never have an idol before me. God and God alone, he will reign and he will rule. Jacob said to one time to all the people, he said, take all those idols and all the names you've given those idols and bring them to me. I'm going to destroy them all. We're going to set our mind on God, solely on God. And then he wrestled with God. And God changed his name too, from Jacob to Israel. He who prevails with God. he who prevails with God. That's where we're called to be. They that prevail with God, not wrestle against him, but wrestle with him. Those, that was the first pulling on heaven I've seen. Jacob, we take this rope and we say, this is how closely tied we are to the kingdom of God. We focus on the kingdom of God here. And we're this close. Because the literal Greek is, the kingdom of God is within your grasp. So this is the best representation I could find. Something that said, I'm tied to heaven. I'm tied to the kingdom of God. And then all kinds of incredible things happen. When I do no more, but I really could do no greater than just seek first the kingdom of God. That's your call. God's raising up you, a body of people, to do the most extraordinary things, just like he said. And the first extraordinary thing is to accept the name that God has given you. And what is that? Whatever God's anointed purpose is in your life. Some of you may be praisers. Some of you may, your anointing may be, I'm a praiser. He who gives glory to God. She who loves. He who gives. And if you stay in that identity, God will keep you empowered in that identity. Adam and Eve had all the power of the earth. And for a moment, she left her identity and chose to emulate someone else's voice. And we have to watch that today. We need a real people, a real body. The body of Christ is identified only by the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can tell you who you are. Your emotions won't address that. Your emotions have no idea. Your flesh does not know who you are. The events going on around you, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your friends, your enemies. Sometimes your enemies can pull out more of who you really are than your friends can. Because they push the envelope of your faith. And when you go beyond your frustration and you said, God, your will be done, that's when your mind opens and you see things in a totally different light. God said, I will enlighten you by my Spirit. I'll give you understanding. You'll see things as they are. And when you do, what things soever you release from the heavens is already foretold it would be released in the earth. God said to Abraham and Sarah, he said, you're going to represent not just through Isaac. And when God said, he spoke of not many seeds, but one, that seed which is Christ. And then Christ becomes our identity. It's no longer I that live. Say it with me. It's no longer me. Let your ear hear your mouth say it. It's no longer I. No, come on, say it like you mean it. It's no longer I. But it's Christ that lives in me. I don't know my name. Only God can give me my name. Only God can influence me with the identity he's given me. And in that identity, and you walk over it, you walk through it, you walk around it, trying times, times when things just seem too little or too overwhelming. You're walking all around the identity where God's saying, all I want you to do is ask me, God, what will you give me? So Abraham says, I can't do it. And God says, that's where I wanted you to be. You can't do it. But now believe the word of the Lord. And then the word says, Abraham did something incredible. It says, and Abraham believed God. I just believe God. I believe no weapon formed against me shall prosper. 1,000 can fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it wouldn't come nigh you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because you set your affections on him. Really, isn't it all about who he is and not what we can do? Isn't it really what we want? And if we want to see the dawning of a new day, it's not going to be something we imagine because he already said that. So why are we angry about what we imagine could or couldn't be? Why aren't we excited about what we don't know? He said, I'll reveal inscrutable things to you, things you don't know, things you haven't seen, things you haven't understood. Sometimes you just have to put your foot there, not reliant on what anyone else can say or do. And then no one else is responsible for your happiness or your sadness. No one. The world loses control over you. If you're in Christ, you're not fighting any devil or demon. Couldn't get near you. couldn't come anywhere close to you. What you're fighting is your doubt and your unbelief. Your skewed vision of a world that God created and blessed and said it belongs to me. And out of it, I'll bring faith that pleases me. Out of it, I'll bring a redeemed. Out of it, I'll speak to a dead body and I'll make it alive. Out of it, I'll do wonders. This is a day God has made. I rejoice. Paul's talking, he says, I have a stewardship. And he said, I'm here in Colossians 1 and verse 25. And he says, to make the word of God fully known. Fully known, fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is, the mystery which is, the mystery which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And we've been all over this, but so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God may be known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This is not a second thought. This is not an afterthought. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. There's a radical move of God. The heavens want us to make them restless. When you hear the angels, we read about the angels, we typically don't see them addressing heaven much. They're addressing the earth. When Christ was born, there was an eruption. Glory to God. The word says a heavenly host erupted and said, wow, I've preached this for years. Even the angels, no eye has seen. Not the angels, not any angel. No ear has heard, not any ear in heaven. Or in earth, no eye of man has seen. And I've preached this for years. It was the angels that didn't see either. And for the first time, just last night, I thought I'm going to look at it in the old, in the Amplified. And it says, no angel has seen. And I went, I knew it. I knew how anointed I was. You have to know that God's working through you. You have an identity that God is revealing to you. You have a name that you have not known. You have purchasing power you didn't realize you have. You have an influence to move the heavens of God in a way that will bring the earth to its knees. And that's really all we need to do. We need to do what we were anointed to do in the beginning when God gave us dominion. Bring the earth to its knees. And they're only going to do it like they did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they did it with David. When they did it with Daniel. It's when you have driven to your knees. When you declare that God and God alone is the authority and the power. And the word says your enemies, don't hate them, don't speak against them. But we do, especially in the political world. We're screaming. But I'm saying this to you because it's going to change. God has already awakened people. Whether or not you're a part of it, I pray you are. That understand what their name is. Your name is the influencer of a multitude of people. How? I don't have. You don't have to have Abraham just because I said, I just want you to believe that I'm God working through you. Could have chose anyone, but I chose you because I know you'll believe that I'm God Almighty. I know that you'll believe that I am the Lord with you. I know that you will believe that nothing is possible. I know that when I tell you, take all that you have and bring it before me and worship me with it, when it seems like everything you have and even what you don't have, and you're going to do it even though you've waited for a long, long time, you're going to believe that out of the small things, out of seemingly nothing, not enough, I'm going to raise up something through you, and then heaven's going to address you and say, now I know that you know that we know together that we're going to change the world. God's not using our ideas. He has his own. But he's revealing them to us. And that's what he said. He said the Spirit seeks the deep things of God. And he reveals them to us. What is the name of your anointing? What is the name of your anointing? What is that yearning, or maybe even the thing that it seems like you're constantly tried with? What is the name of your anointing? Your anointing is tried, so you'll continue to acknowledge and walk in it, not by works, not by effort, not by sweat, not by your blood, but by His, by faith in who He is, by faith in what He said, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. There's something in the name. Abraham, Sarah, Israel, Jesus. The heavens, the earth never knew Him as they knew Him when He came to mankind. What is man that you were mindful of him? Man is a temple of the living God. Jesus called us His body. Now, we emulate people today because it's so easy to do, because we can watch how magnificent people are, how beautiful they are, how well-dressed they are, how poised they are, how put together they are, how well they can cook. Now, I do like cooking. But you lose the identity that wants to flourish inside of you. Who are you? Have you ever shut it off and just said, God, what will you give me? We see such power in the patriarchs, but they have so little influence from those around them because they would seek God and go believing God for God to do something unique through them. There's no one in the world that's going to fulfill what God has anointed you to do. No one in the world. But there is a body being comprised, coming together, uniting. And that's what Christ is all about. He said, Father, the glory that you have given me, I have given them. That's a pretty big word. The glory you've given me, I've given them. Jesus is all about sharing who He is. He's all about giving into us who we are. He said, you can prophesy, you can have the gifts and do miracles. But He said, unless you have love, you're just making a bunch of noise. Have we been making a bunch of noise? But the influence, trust me, I bore witness to what I'm saying. The influence, I've been places where I didn't prophesy. Everyone wants to prophesy. Prophesy, prophesy. You've been in some of those services. Some of you are guilty of screaming, prophesy! A witness in the house. But I've sat quietly in the presence of the Lord and watched incredible favor just poured out. And you're sitting there going, I think I'm dreaming right now. I have to be dreaming. It's happened over and over. I think I'm dreaming right now. And I think I am. That's you. That's your identity. God will do astounding things through you. So you love the life that you live because you live the life you were loved. For God so loved you. Starts with love. Really does. Not a soft little word. Not a word that requires tissues and tears, but a word that is authoritatively, powerfully. We love a lot of things, and we're the best at worshiping. Every one of you in this house, every one of you watching me, is an incredible worshiper. There isn't a one of you that isn't. You're all worshipers. That's what you do best, you worship. It's just, what is it you worship? Because we're made to worship. And when we decide, our faith decides, I believe God. And He said, love is love. Love God. God doesn't need your anger to do His business, to do His work. And you can't do it anyway. You can get angry as you want. You can get as excited as you want. You can pray and pull down all those principalities and powers. Or you can glorify God and be clothed in it. God make you a witness like He did Daniel. Daniel just on his knees, just seeking God. Throw you in the lions. And God says, I'm just going to make a witness of you every place you go. So they point their finger at you and say, truly you do serve the true and living God. God is with you. It's the name, the identity. What is your real identity? Have you asked God to give you your name? What is the name of your anointing? What has God called you to facilitate? How do you move the heavens? Can you really get your eyes off the world? Because the people that are going to influence the world have their eyes on the kingdom of God. They have their eyes in heaven. Seek those things that are above, not those things which are on the earth. God said, then I'll do, because the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. The heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord. And if God can turn it by way of a witness, he'll do it. He'll do it. This is the greatest season of your lives. This is the most phenomenal, incredible time of all time. And God has given this generation, this people, an opportunity to hear their name. God, what will you give me? I'm going to give you a new name, Abram. I'm going to call your name Abraham. You've had a lofty name, but I'm going to give you a name that is right out of heaven. God doing wonders through you. God raising the dead. Abraham and Sarah were shadows, were prophecies by the word of God of you and I. A body that was dead, incapable, impossible. And he brought out life, and he brought out life of prophecy. He brought out nations. Do you know how hungry the world is for the truth? Do you have any idea how they would embrace the light if you would show it? Do you have any idea when they hear their identity coming out of your mouth, how moved they are, how inclined they are, no matter who they are, how weak, how poor, how rich, how powerful? When they hear God speaking through you, they'll listen to you. They'll bring you in. Because God reigns and rules in the hearts of men. And he already has assigned you. But if you're too busy emulating what the world says and what the system says, and you've got it figured out and mapped out, I'm sorry for you. You've got a long journey before you hit the end of I don't know and come to the one that is I am. We need to hear what God has to say, not just to us, but about us. There's something extraordinary about this moment in time. No one knows. No one knows. I have the opportunity to talk to a lot of different people, and no matter what they facilitate or where they are, no one right now knows. It's exciting to me. I love the uncertainty of man, because then no one's going to be deceived, because you're not listening, because they don't know. But he that has an ear, hear what the Spirit of God has to say. What is God saying? I'm doing a new thing in the earth. Scrutable things you don't know. And I'm calling out an Abraham, and I'm calling out an Isaac, I'm calling out a Jacob, I'm calling out a Daniel, I'm calling out a David, I'm calling a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who says, we don't care what the system says. We're not blind. I think we're the only ones that are seeing what God is saying. And whether you like it or not, what God says is going to take place. The word of the Lord is sure. The word of God is yes, and in him is amen. To God be the glory, the honor, the praise, and the power. This is an incredible open season. If you're in this house or you're listening, God's speaking directly to you. I mean, who is it? Who are these unique people? Just those that are willing to say, Father, I bow to you. I don't have what it takes. I don't have enough. I'm just trying to get out of my problem, or trying to make it through to the next day. And God's saying, I don't want you to see the end of the day. I want you to walk into it absolutely blinded in your own eyes, so I can give you insight to mine. I don't want you to see it with your intelligence. I want you to see it by my Spirit, says the Lord. I want to show you things that will astound you. I want you to know that it's not you that's doing it. I want you to feel what it feels like when God is speaking through you and working through you. When you can't put it together, you can't pull it together, you can't figure it out. And God says, watch, I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to do it through you. Sometimes we miss because we're waiting for him to do it for us. Those people, when they say, and this person, when he says, and when she says, and when they do, and when this happens, and when... No, it's never going to work for you. Because your emotions don't know who you are. Your true identity is within the revelation of Christ in you, who he says you are. And I don't mean that apparitious, specterish, like, oh, it's a great job. No, but where you take to heart. Abraham took to heart what God said. You know, Abraham could have shook his head, walked off, and went, wow, that was weird. But he inquired of God, what do you want to do? What will you give me? One thing, get hungry. Stay hungry. Anyone enjoy Thanksgiving dinner? Anyone put on a few pounds? You don't have to raise your hand. Get hungry like it's Thanksgiving. Get hungry like this is a day of feasting. This is a day of rejoicing. This is a day. Worship your God. He is the Lord over all. He prophesied this. He said, as a matter of fact, I know what's supposed to happen. I just need you to know. I need you to believe. He said, when you see these trying times, word is perplexity of nations, meaning seemingly no way out. We're there. I'm so excited because I see God doing things that would never happen before. Because there is a stir in the body, and those that are saying, there's no man to tell me. David didn't have anybody to tell him how to defeat the giant because everyone was running in fear. And he said, I just come in the name of the Lord of hosts. Nothing is working. The king's armor won't fit. My brothers don't want me here. Everyone thinks I'm... And the giant's just calling me all kinds of names. And he's way bigger, and he's way better at doing what we're about to do than I am, but... I come in the identity. I come in my anointing. Who was David? He was a worshiper. You know what he addressed Goliath with? Worship. He addressed Goliath with worship, and he fell to his knees. The earth will fall prey to your praise. It'll do what it was supposed to do in the beginning. It'll bow and surrender, and you'll see God do things. God wants you to know one thing, that he really is with you. Think of it. He said over and over, I'm going to do this so they will know that I am God with them. So they will know, even the non-believers will know that there is a prophet in the earth. Even the non-believers will know that God is with you. God just wants to reveal that he is. And he chose to do it through someone that can't. Mankind. Handful of dust. And God breathed Ruach into it. And it came alive. And heaven said, what is that? I mean, there's this. What is that? And God said, through the body, the unseen, unknown, invisible, unaware, unenlightened, uninformed, I'll show him God. God can't show all that he is in heaven. It would be impossible. He has to do it through faith. He made that clear. He said, only by faith can I be pleased. And only through Christ can I show my fullness. And who is Christ? He is the faith. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So even all the heavens looked and said, look and see. We have never known him as we know him today. And then the word says that he was exalted above every name. The heavens saw him in an exalted position that they had never seen before, even though he was there all the time. That's who we are in the earth. All the prophecies are true. Just need a body that believes we are one. We are one. And it's that uniqueness that God is drawing out, because this is what Jesus said. He said the body, although they are in the oneness of unity, he said there's not one part that is the body. He said there diversities. They're all different parts, and no one is the same. God put his fingerprint in the uniqueness of your identity. He put his fingerprint in your iris. There's not another eye color exactly like yours. Isn't that phenomenal? The identity of Christ is in your fingerprint. There's not another one like yours. presence of the Lord is in your eye, in your hand. The unique facets of who you are. And that's Christ. He said, my ways are past finding out. There's no way you could say it's done. God will never bring you to an end. Never. No matter how great or how bad it seems, he'll never bring you to an end because he doesn't have one. He'll only bring you to a new beginning. It's who he is. So every one of you has his fingerprint in your eye. Your iris, one of a kind. The uniqueness of this body is to realize that by the Holy Spirit, by praise and worship to God. Is that it? What else is there? All we do is worship. Every day we worship something. You think you do something else? You don't do anything else. No one does anything else on this world except worship something. That's what we do. There isn't anything else to do. You worship work. You worship money. You worship people. You worship music. You worship someone else. You worship something. You hold it in high esteem. Something. Something. That's what we do every day. We're just going to worship. That's all you do anyway. It's just that you worship an idol that is lifeless or a God that is all life. And Paul said, if you're double-minded, sometimes, unfortunately, like a lot of religious folks are, he said, you're two-souled, you're two-toned. He said, you won't believe either one. So you're always split down the middle, so there's no power there because you're divided. Let that man not, or that person not, think they receive anything of God. But those that are single-minded, what does that mean? I worship God and God alone. He's all authority and all power. This is the why. That's why we say all the time, this is the greatest season of your life. Some people scratch their head and walk out. Greatest season, this is the worst day of my life. It's the greatest season of your life. You're seeing the worst. Your doubt's telling you what kind of day you're having, what kind of world you live in, what kind of government. You know the government I'm under? Is the kingdom of God and of his Christ. That's the government I rest under. And everyone responds to that government. One way or another, God is glorified in it. Everyone. No one can resist my worship. No one. No one can resist your worship. No one. They can like you. They can hate you. They can embrace you. They can chase you out. But no one can resist it. It will impact and do what God wants to do. He said, look at Pharaoh. Look at, he's a madman. He's doing my bidding. And he'll make your enemies to be at peace with you when you, your ways please him. How do I do that? I'm a worshiper of God and God alone. He's the only one I worship. He's the only one I believe. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. The only truth about you is the identity that the Holy Spirit gives you. And God is raising up an identity, a name, like he's always done. His name is the name above. It's all in the name. What is your name? Could simply be a worshiper of God. That's who David was. He was a worshiper. He was a praiser. God said, he has a heart after me. Jesus, God spoke to Jeremiah one time. He said, I want you to go down and watch the potter work a work on the wheel. He went down and he said, and God said, you'll hear my word there. You'll hear my word. He works on the wheel. And the word says the wheel became marred. It became disfigured in his hands. And God says something amazing to me. He says, that's me. That's me. You know what the pottery was? You know what the vessel was? The mind of the potter. That's what a vessel is. It's the mind of the Creator. It takes the shape of the mind of the Creator. And God said, watch me change their minds. He said, that's what I'm going to do. God's changing the minds of this generation. I hear worshipers unlike we've heard. I hear a boldness coming out. And instead of being stopped, they're going to be encouraged. Because we're not running on our own steam. We're not running under our own power. We're doing what we're called to do, but we know our name. We are the worshipers of God. We are the praisers. And the Lord will fill your praise with his presence. And in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Just a worshiper. It's hard for people to resist a worshiper of God. I meet with all kinds of people. I've recently just met with all kinds of people. Muslims, Jews, Christians, I'm not sure. And we've talked about this for the last couple of weeks and some friends of mine, and they just came and said, we just love what you do. I'm of a different belief or religion, but I believe everything you say. How can you do that? How can they believe what I say? They're telling me. Because you can't resist the presence of the Lord. And that's how God said, you'll rule the earth. Worship me. How? Just trust me. Trust my word. Believe. See that tree there? Every time you walk past it, as great as it looks, as influential and as inviting as it may seem, just trust my word. This is the day God has made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. I will say of the Lord, you are sovereign. You are all present, all powerful, all God, all with me. You're my shield, my buckler, you're my trust, you're with me. The church should be happy. If you'd smile a little bit more, people would be more drawn to you anyway. If they could feel the presence of love, they'd be drawn to you. I want to be a witness for God. No one's going to want to look at you like that. Sound like a witness for God? Sound like you got bad news? You need Jesus. Well, man, if he sounds like that, I don't think I want him. He sounds kind of mean. Love. The presence of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Anyone have joy? If you feel weak, it's because you need more joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress, my God. He is the Lord ever present with me. He leads me in the way that I should go. How about this? Only goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. See your upside down world turned right side up. And then you realize I was upside down. When God turned it right side up, I felt upside down until I acclimated to what's true about me. This is the greatest season of all time since Christ. This is the greatest season. It's what he prophesied. It's what he foretold. And God said it is by the enlightenment. He said to Peter, he said, who? There it is again. Who? Who are you? Who are you? Who do men say I am? And they said all kinds. One of the prophets and Elisha come back. And then he says to Peter, you. Who do you see? And Peter, without thinking about it, because Jesus said, this didn't come from you. He said, this came from the Father. He said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And what was that? That you worship God and God enlightened you to see it the way it is. That's who I am. And today, that's the foundation of the real church. Not the religious, not the churchy, not the angry, not the hateful, not to change the world. I'm not here to change the world. I'm here to move heaven. That's what I'm told to do. That's what the Word of God tells me to do. Move the heavens. How? By bearing witness to faith, to what God says. Every good and perfect gift come down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation nor shadow of turning. If any two or three will agree concerning any one thing, that thing they agree on will be done. Whatever you release from the earth will be released from the heavens. Whatever you bind from the earth will be bound in the heavens. In other words, God says the answer comes from here. Seek first the kingdom, first the kingdom of God. Why? Then you won't seek anything else. And all these things will pursue you, the blessing, the favor, the honor of the Lord. This is really the greatest season of your life. And if you're here today, you were assigned here. Whether you wanted to come or not, whether you wanted to be here or not, God assigned you here because you have an assignment. God's opening your eyes to be and do something. God's going to do something through you you wouldn't have imagined that could be done. In this coming season of time, you're about to step through doors that you would never have imagined you'd step through. Some you were afraid to step through. Some you were excited to step through. Some you've never even thought would be open to you. But if you have a willing heart, under the authority of this word today, I'm telling you, God is opening a new season. This is not like before. You're not going back to the way it used to be. God doesn't want you to. You get too comfortable with the way it is. Even if you're miserable, it's still, at least you know what to anticipate. But God's doing something through a generation of people today that you haven't expected. God's opening your eyes and your heart and your mind to how great your identity is in Him and how great of things He's going to do in the earth. And this really is the greatest season of your life. You believe it? Give the Lord a shout. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, I praise you. We praise you collectively together. We're worshipers of you. We worship you. We worship you. we worship you. When David numbered Israel and the heavens were stirred against his disobedience, the one thing that brought peace in the earth is he worshiped you. He worshiped you. He worshiped you. Jacob built an altar and he worshiped you. Your presence came down and you took a hold of him. And the power of your word in him contended with God and gave him a new name, Israel. So we are today the Israel of God, a nation of one. You do your wonder through the body of Christ. And it's not that we are agreeing with everything that the other says, but we are honoring the difference of the members of the body of Christ, each one called to their own office. Someone may frustrate you and God may have sent them there to do just that. So you'd realize that you need to love a little more, forgive a little more. It's not just so you're a nice person. It's so you realize your real identity isn't who you thought you needed to be or wanted to be or what you needed someone to say to make you feel good about who you are. But you're a David. You're an Abraham. I know in whom I have believed. As for me and my house, we serve the living God. So let's pull on heaven together today. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. We pray for an outpouring of insight and revelation. I pray for names and identities, for a walk in the anointing purpose of your call. Not to need any applause or any praise or recognition from man, but that heaven will bear witness that God is with you and you will bear witness to Christ. You will receive the Holy Spirit that you may bear witness to me, he said. And so this we pray. We pull upon the heavens of God, and Lord, I thank you that you turn the hearts and the minds of your people to call on you, to believe you, to listen to the voice of those whose word is in their mouth. Your word, O God. That you elevate this generation to worshipers unlike we have known. That we experience the dawn of a new day, an outbreak of worshipers, a new identity, not emulating those around us, thinking that if we can't, we're less than that. But the uniqueness of that one part of the body God has made us. And to stand firm in that. Say, this is my name. This is who I am. This is who God has called me to be. And this is what I walk in. Great is the Lord who is with me. And Father, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted. No, everyone shouted. Come on. Everyone shouted. Come on. Don't be afraid. God be for you, who can be against you? Huh? God be for you, who can be against you? God be for me, who can be against me? No one. Say it. If God be for me, who can be against me? No one. Say it. Come on, rid yourself of what man might do. Dig a little deeper. Come on, come on. Dig a little deeper. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? In this house! Say, dig a little deeper, reach a little higher, Spirit of the Lord, set the soul on fire. Say, I'm going to dig a little deeper. I'm going to dig a little deeper. A little higher. The Spirit of the Lord set my soul on fire. On fire. On fire. On fire. On fire. On fire. Steve, it has always been your independence that has made you fruitful and productive. And it's always your dependence that makes things stand still. It's always the inspiration, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that just says, do. When you do, things move. And then when someone says, I'll help you, it seems like it slows down. Because what God is putting in you is your own name, your own identity, your own doing. You don't need anybody else to make it happen. When you walk from beginning to finish, you'll find the new beginning. It's just done. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what man has to say. All that matters is you do it God's way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Three projects on the shelf, and every one of them have a breath of their own. They don't need to be resuscitated by anyone or facilitated through anyone. They'll live on their own. You start, you choreograph, you walk hand in hand, and you finish it. It's all you have to do. Because in your mind, it will never be something waiting to happen. It will be something that was started and finished. That'll encourage you in the faith that God has put on the inside of you. What are you waiting for? God has opened up the door. He's given you words of wisdom. You've written it down over and over. You've went back and rearranged, taking what was at the back, behind, and put it in the front. Taking what was in the middle and moved it up a quarter of the way. You've rearranged, redesigned, reframework, built new framework, taken the frame away. Said maybe in the raw state it will do. God says you choose. If you'll just start it and finish it without questioning or waiting on anyone or anything, just do it and display it through the platform God gives you and say, it belongs to me. David didn't wait to see if the king would stand before him and go to his knee. He just said, I've got a sling. It's all I have. It's all I need. I'm going to go and talk to this man. He'll either turn around and run or he'll bow. But one way or another, we'll have victory this day by the word of the Lord. So it is in you. You have been your own giant. Be the David. Release the stone. There is no one standing against you or holding you back. Goliath, bow. David, come forth in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. Give the Lord a shout. Give God a shout of praise. Give the Lord a shout. Give God a shout of praise. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Just lift your voice, lift your hands, bless His holy name. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Just lift your voice and lift your hands and bless His holy name. He is holy. He is worthy. He is the Lord God Almighty. First, the last, the beginning and the end. He is God. He's also your friend. He'll lead you in the way you should go. Tell you what you need to know. And in all you do and all you say, just say, Lord God, I'm doing it your way. To God be the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. 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 Anthony, God has stirred your heart. Stirred your mind. Stirred your soul. So much so, He's made you uncomfortable with what you're about to do and where you're about to go. When the Lord says, you say what I put in your mouth, you release the past time. Forgetting not to remember, but remember what you forgot. What God has said. When is the time? walk in the power of revelation, you have an eye God has given you to prophesy. Not as others would think or say or do, but through the gift God has given you, the fingerprint in your hand, the vision in your mind. God will show you what will affect change. God will speak through you as the voice of prophecy. People will hear Him through the vision He has given you. Choose. Choose this day how God will do. And say of the Lord, this is the beginning, the dawning of a new season. My hour has come. God will do wonders through me. And whatever God has prepared your heart to believe, believe God has prepared your heart to believe. That's it. Give the Lord a shout of praise today. Come on. Give God a shout. You dreamed half a dream, Anthony. You dreamed half a dream. Where's the other half? A few nights ago, you dreamed half a dream. There's no conclusion that's half a dream. Dream the other half. Dream the other half. See it unfold. God will show you the other half of the dream. On my servants and on my handmaiden, says God, you will prophesy in dreams and visions. It's time to dream. It's time to dream. I pray God give you dreams in this house. Those that are viewing right now, I pray God's going to give you a dream of the world from heaven's perspective. You're going to see the heaven of God just like Jesus said. Pray! Prophesy! Your kingdom come! Your will be done in earth as in heaven. Because when heaven shows up on earth, it looks totally different than it does up there. That's God's call on our lives. You are that generation. You believe it? Say, yeah! Give the Lord a shout of praise today. Come on, just bless His name. 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 God is pushing you to promote you, Anton. The wind in your sails is not the wind of men. It's the breath of God. Saying, I'm going to blow you further out to sea. Remember, the waters are deep. And it is deep calling to deep now. You can't fulfill what God's called you to do swimming in the shallow waters. God's taking you out into the depth. There's depths. And there's things in the depths of the sea, your life, where God wants to move you. Your faith expands. Where your knees quake. Your hands shake. And God says, speak the word. What is your name? What is your name? And it's in those deep waters, God said, I'll bring witness around you that God did it. Just as you live and breathe today, because God did it. Is the Lord with you? Is He not with you? Is He not with you? What man can compare to God with you? What word of favor can compare to the favor of the word of the Lord that is with you? Believe the Lord and you'll increase. Believe its prophets and you prosper. Stay established. God will surely bring it to pass. Come on, if you believe in the house, go ahead and worship the Lord. Worship your God. Come on. It's a time of favor. Unrivaled favor. Say this one. Favor of the Lord is after me. Say it. Favor of the Lord is after me. Come on. Favor of the Lord is after me. Favor of the Lord is after you. He's pursuing you. No doubt it's true. He said it. He said, if you seek me, He said, all these things will come to pass. The blessing and the favor of the Lord will pursue you. With one mouth and one mind, what we have to do is take the two-soul personality out of who we are and be single-minded in Christ. I'm blessed of the Lord. I'm an influence in the earth. God's going to do wondrous things through me, and I'm thankful that I can't do half of what I believe Him for, because He's bringing out my identity, just as He did with every patriarch in the Word and everyone that you don't even know to present day, including you and myself. No way! I came from the backside of nowhere, knowing nothing or no one. God says, I'll make you a voice in the earth because you're my son. So God is saying to you, and the Lord's raising you up today. God's raising you up today according to your faith. He said to the woman that said in her heart, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment and I'm going to pull on him and I'm going to draw virtue out of it. And when he did, he turned around. Heaven turned around and looked at the woman and inquired and said, Who drew virtue from me? They said, everyone's touching you. He says, I'm not asking who touched me. I'm asking who touched me. Who drew virtue from heaven? And unsure of herself, only confident in her faith, a worshiper, afraid, said, I did. And he said, that faith in you, that moved heaven. According to your faith, do you know what God has made you to be? Do you know the name God has given you? Do you have any idea God's intentions in your faith? And when trials come, we try to get out of them instead of trying to get everything from them. They will bless you, honor you, make you complete and entire, lacking nothing. They're not there to hurt you. They're there to help you. Give them their true identity. Goliath, you'll fall prey to my worship. God will be glorified. And I, as Abraham, will know God is with me. Do you believe that? You believe that? Give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. Come on. Come on. Come on. Favor of the Lord is after you. He's pursuing you. No doubt it's true. You believe it? You believe it? Favor of the Lord is after you. He's pursuing you. No doubt it's true. Say it. Favor of the Lord is after me. He's pursuing me. So plain to see. Favor of the Lord is after you. Pursuing you. No doubt it's true. And all you have to do is just stop and worship him. Just stop and worship him. Just stop and worship him. Give the Lord praise in the house this morning.